The end. April 12, 1935. One who lives in the divine will lays down her remains, reduces herself to nothing, and the all forms its life within that nothing. How the celestial queen loved us in her conception. Prodigies that the divine volition did in her. I feel I am the little atom, or rather the nothing, dissolved in the all of the divine volition. Oh, how this all, within the nothing of the creature, feels its life being free, its power operating, its virtue creating, such that whatever it wants, it can do inside this nothing. It can be said that this nothing is the amusement of the divine fiat, which, with its dominion, invests it, attracts it, captivates it, fills it. And the nothing lets it do anything, and not one thing does it disperse of the goods it receives. Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, making me his short little visit, told me, "My daughter, when the soul lives in my divine will, she lays down her remains. She empties herself of everything, in such a way that what is left is the pure nothing. And my volition invests it, fills it with the all, dominates it, and forms in it prodigies of sanctity, of grace, of beauty, worthy of its creative power. But what's more, in this void of the nothing, it generates its love, and there it forms its divine life, and it becomes dominator of the nothing, and of its very divine life formed in it. And oh, its love for this nothing reaches such extent as to render it dominating at the same time, together with the supreme fiat. And since its dominion comes to it from the all it possesses, it feels its same dominating virtue and dominates the very divine will. So, they're both dominating, but with highest accord, possessing one same love and one same will. The human will feels its life within mine and does nothing if it does not feel my operating act that wants to operate, in order to do it together. And my will feels my life within its life, and with its dominion it imposes itself over the nothing, so as to let it operate within the all. Therefore, as soon as the creature makes up her mind, with firm will, of wanting to live in mine, my volition gives the start of forming its life in it. There is no will which does not possess its life, through which it carries out its goodness, its power, its sanctity, the fullness of its love. Life is the manifestation of the will it possesses. It is the garment that covers it. It is the sound of its voice. It is the narrator of its wonders, of its infinity, of its power. Therefore, my divine will is not content with making the creature live in it, the nothing within the all. No, no, only then is it content when it encloses the all inside the nothing, forming in it its life dominating and operating, and doing whatever it wants inside that nothing. This is why, when I speak to you about my will, it is your Jesus that speaks to you, because I myself am the life of it, its representative, the narrator of my fiat, which I hide within me. Hence, the greatest prodigy is to form my divine life in the nothingness of the creature. And my will alone has this virtue, because by possessing the creative power, it can create itself, its life, if one wants to receive it. Now, by possessing my life, the soul takes part in my sanctity, in my love, and oh, how beautiful it is to hear that the nothing says with the all, love, glory. And with the dominating force it feels, it diffuses itself within the divine acts and dominates together with my will. For us, there is no greater contentment to hear the nothing operating and dominating in our divine being. Therefore, be attentive to live always in my will. After this, I continued my round in the divine will. And as I arrived at the Immaculate Conception, my sweet Jesus made me pause, telling me, "My daughter, I want to make you penetrate deeper inside the Immaculate Conception of my Most Holy Mother. Its prodigies, how she loved her Creator, and how for love of us, she loved all creatures. The little queen, in the act of being conceived, began her life together with the divine will, and therefore together with her Creator. So, she felt the strength, the immensity, the ardor of the divine love. And these were so great that she felt dissolved, drowned in love, as to be unable to do nothing other than love the one who so much loved her. She felt loved, but so much, to the point of being given his will into her power, to be kept as her own life. This can be called the greatest love of God, the love most heroic, the love which alone can say, 'I have nothing left to give you. I have given you everything.' And the little queen made use of this life in order to love him back for as much as she was loved. She would not lose one instant without loving him and trying to match him in loving. Now, our divine will, which possesses the all-seeingness of everything, hid nothing from her. It made all human generations present to this holy creature, and each sin they had committed and would commit. And even from the first instant of her conception, the celestial little one, who knew no other life than the divine will alone, began to grieve with divine sorrow over each sin of creature. So much so as to form around each of their sins a sea of divine love and sorrow. My will, which knows not how to do small things, formed inside her beautiful soul seas of sorrow and of love for each sin and for each creature. Therefore, the holy little virgin, from the very first instant of her life, was queen of sorrow and of love, because our omnipotent will gave her such sorrow and love that if it had not sustained her with its power, she would have died for each sin and be consumed with love so many times for as many creatures as would exist. And our divinity began to receive, by virtue of our will, divine sorrow and divine love for all and for each one. Oh, how we felt satisfied and repaid for all. And by virtue of this divine sorrow and love, we felt inclined toward all, Her love was so great that, lording it over us, she would make us love those whom she loved. So much so that as soon as this excelling creature came to light, the eternal word ran to come and look for man and save him. Who can resist the operating power of our will in the creature? And what can it not do and obtain when it wants to? Oh, if all knew the great good we did to the human generations by giving them this celestial queen. It was she who prepared redemption, who conquered her creator, and was the bearer of the eternal word upon earth. Oh, all would cling to her maternal knees to implore from her that divine will whose life she possesses.